The text before us is taken from the 71st Psalm, beginning with the 22nd verse. Also with the lute I will praise you and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you and my soul, which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought to shame who seek my hurt. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would now increase our faith through them. Amen. On the cover of the bulletin for this week, we see depicted the account of Jesus with the healing of the deaf and mute man. It's interesting at the end of that story that Jesus says to him and to those that are witnessing that great miracle that they should not go tell anybody. I've always thought that was an interesting command for Jesus to give. We're told, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it, and you could understand why. It's maybe the only example of God-pleasing disobedience in the Bible. It's hard to imagine that Jesus was really upset if this man who had miraculously been healed of being deaf and unable to speak could now go and talk about it. What an amazing event in his life. Don't talk about it? You got to be kidding. The fact that he could talk itself showed the miracle. You can just imagine him running home to his friends and his family. I bet it didn't take him more than a minute, and he was singing Jesus' praises for healing him. And we're told that even the crowd that witnessed this, even though it didn't happen to them personally, they witnessed this amazing miracle, couldn't help but just go and talk about it. I'd like to use that text and that story of the great miracle of this healing in a visual way as a picture of what we have before us in our text on a spiritual level, because there's a similar spiritual truth that it depicts for us from this great psalm. I want you to look at two sentences that you'll find in the text that are before us. If you look at it again, they're right in the middle. The first one says, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. Once God powerfully, through his grace and through the gospel, once God powerfully touches a person's heart to know who Christ is and to know of the great salvation that he has given them, they can't help but want to talk about it. They can't help but have it come out of their mouth. There's a direct correlation and connection between this powerful faith that gets worked in the heart by the work of the Holy Spirit when the gospel comes to us, and the lips. It's just an automatic connection, and it can't be stopped. The believer just can't help himself. She can't help herself. We have to talk about it. We have to let people know. It's just an automatic thing. And the faith that now is created inside of a person's heart and that lives inside of this person's heart has to be expressed in some way. It has to be communicated, and it will come out of people in a variety of ways. And when that soul, as our text says, grabs onto, by God's powerful grace, when that soul grabs onto what Christ has done on the cross and learns what that means for us, learns what that means for our future and for our relationship with God and the peace that we now have, when the soul finds that out because of the power of the Holy Spirit, the mouth just can't stay shut. It will talk about it. It will automatically talk about it. Notice that second line I drew your attention to. It says, my tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. Notice that the tongue of the believer doesn't want to talk about its own righteousness, our own goodness somehow before God, because we know that's irrelevant. We know it doesn't mean a thing. We know it's imperfect. I certainly know that about myself. I would assume you know, too, that your own claims of goodness and righteousness before God is nothing. It's irrelevant. But the righteousness God gives, your righteousness, our text says, the righteousness, the holy, perfect record that God alone could not only create, but now credit to you because of Christ, that record of righteousness, that I'll talk about. That the believer is more than happy to explain and talk about and sing praises to God about. This weekend we'll be celebrating the anniversary of the 9/11 disaster. And we're going to be seeing a lot of things on TV again and in the newspapers and magazines about that. Imagine that you were one of those people that were high up in one of those towers, and through the efforts of those in rescue squads, somehow you were brought down one of those few stairways that remained intact until the buildings came down, and you were rescued and brought out of there in just an amazing way. Can you imagine getting home and dust in your hair and sitting down and not telling your family about it? Can you imagine when you were in the building and suddenly it was discovered that there was a passageway to get out, and you were in a room with 5-6 other people that you wouldn't also explain it to them? There's a natural desire in the hearts of those who've been rescued by the grace of God, who've come to realize what it means that we've been spared from going to hell forever and burning forever in hell, so that we can go to heaven because of what Christ has done. We just would expect that those who've come to see that rescue and appreciate it and understand it, they're going to want to talk about it. They're going to naturally speak about it. One of the fun things to have witnessed serving as a pastor for many years is when I would take people through adult instruction classes and they would become adult converts to the faith. You didn't have to teach them about evangelism. We would, but you didn't have to, because it was built into the gospel that they came to understand. Before you could talk about it, they would be coming and asking, how can I go talk to so-and-so? I've got a relative that doesn't understand this. I've got someone I work with that I think would really appreciate this. Can you help me figure out a way to explain it to him or her? The gospel itself has this power not only to turn on our hearts to understanding who Christ is and what he's done for us, but it automatically produces confession out of our mouths. It automatically produces this desire to talk about it. There's a great story in the ancient church about a man, one of the early martyrs during the age of persecution in the first couple centuries, a man by the name of Polycarp. And he apparently was brought before a Roman governor, and the governor asked him to denounce his faith in Christ and thereby spare his life. And he gave this confession. He was an old man at the time. Listen to what he said. For 86 years I have been Christ's servant. How can I now blaspheme my king who has saved me? And the governor said to him at that point, I have wild beasts and I'm ready to throw them at you. And Polycarp apparently responded, call them. When you have come to know what it means through the gospel to have been rescued by Christ, what that means for your future, what you get to enjoy in your future forever, you'll face martyrdom. And you will be willing to stand and confess that before the world. The gospel not only contains this power to confess, but it also contains the power to spread this wonderful truth. It contains mission right in it. The Great Commission comes with the gospel when we learn of it and embrace it by faith. It has this built-in character. Just like an apple tree automatically contains inside of itself the ability to produce the seed and the fruit so that the next tree can grow from it, so it is with the gospel. When it touches people's hearts and lives, when we understand it and realize what it means for us, it automatically wants to find another plot of ground for the church to grow. And so may our prayer continue to be that God would not only open our ears, but, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. Amen. Let us rise. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the wonderful grace that you have given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we pray that you would continue to work true faith in our hearts, that we find various ways to spread this wonderful truth and declare the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We ask it all in our Savior's holy name. Amen.